he puts forth a very convincing argument in a lot of different places about why he should be let off the hook for what he did. But I'm just going to let people listen and decide on their own.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, the military members who went to the Capitol on January 6th. On January 6th, 2021, a lot of the people who stormed the Capitol in Washington were dressed like members of the military. But some of them were actually members of the military, too. A new NPR embedded series called A Good Guy follows the case of one of them, an active duty Marine whose actions that day soon caught up with him.
They basically brought me into like a stereotypical movie type interrogation room with like a one-way mirror and a metal table. And basically just, they showed me pictures of me inside the Capitol building. They showed me pictures of Coomer and Dodge inside the Capitol building.
Well, joining me now to talk about the special report are NPR Pentagon correspondent Tom Bowman and producer Lauren Hodges. Thank you for being here.
Hey, Ian.
Hello.
So how did Josh Abate, who is the central character in your report, get caught up in the January 6th activity while serving as an active duty Marine?
Well, he was based at Marine Base Quantico in Virginia, and he and two other friends decided to go up and hear Trump speak about an hour north from Quantico at the White House. They got there too late for the speech because of traffic, so they saw this huge crowd, this sea of people streaming toward the Capitol. They joined in, and then 7 minutes after the doors were breached, crushed by this crowd, they entered the Capitol.
Now, your report shows that Abate's account of what he did that day may have shifted over time, but what did he actually stand accused of doing in the Capitol?
Well, he was accused of four misdemeanor charges, trespassing, disorderly conduct. Again, four charges. The others were accused of the same charges. And it was dropped by prosecutors to one misdemeanor charge, which they all faced in federal court.
Lauren, what attracted you to this particular story?
I've been working with Tom on military stories for years. I've always been really drawn to it. But the most important part of it to me was the different experience that Josh described to us at the Capitol on January 6th, because Tom and I were also there that day covering the insurrection, and the way he described it to us didn't make a ton of sense. So digging into it was a necessity, and we got an unexpected assist after we actually talked to Josh from the House GOP when they dropped 5,000 hours of security camera footage from inside the Capitol that day. And we started going through it, and we found Josh.
I know you probably don't want to spoil it for people listening, but there was a lot more information included in that footage than what he had told you and other people who had spoken with him, right?
Yeah, this is a big part of the podcast and really what led us to title it A Good Guy, because Josh wanted to talk to us to be able to tell his story, his version of the events, and that is, or at least what he wanted to portray, was that he was just a bystander. He was kind of in the wrong place at the wrong time, got swept up in it, but that he did not really participate. You know, he like stood back, took pictures, videos, but he didn't get involved in any of the aggression or violence, and even told us he didn't even see any of that. So that was not what we saw on the tape.
Why was it so important to Abate and some of the others to sort of not be held to account in terms of their own military careers?
Well, because it was illegal. You know, the things that they were charged with could have landed them in jail for months. And I think there was also this aspect of, you know, embarrassment and not being able to explain this to people in the future when they Googled him and, you know, saw his name come up. And I think afterwards, there was a part of him that saw it on TV, heard how it was being portrayed, heard how the people who participated were being portrayed, and realized he did not want to be seen that way. I think being seen as a nice guy is very important to Josh.
And also they downplayed what they did that day. And also when they got back from the Capitol, they started deleting pictures. They looked at each other and said, maybe we shouldn't even talk about this. So, yeah, they tried to brush the whole thing aside and hope they could just all continue with their Marine careers. Another thing, Ian, we look at in this, you know, this episode and really the whole podcast is asking the question, you know, does the military have an extremism problem? So there were 200 people in the Capitol that day who were either active or retired military. And get this, about a third of them were Marines, even though the Marines are the smallest fighting force. So we're asking, you know, senior Pentagon leaders, do you guys have an extremism problem? They're saying, no, it seems to be small. But here's the thing, they don't know because they haven't collected the data. Finally, just this year, they put out guidelines and they say they're going to define what extremism is, prohibitive behavior. And finally, after all this time, almost 4 years later, they're going to start collecting data, they say, on any extremism behavior.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. How has January 6th forced the military to reexamine its protocols with respect to, you know, what political activity you can do, what counts as political activity or prohibited activity?
Well, of course, obviously trying to overthrow the government would be prohibited. And also any sort of involvement in the extremist activity, you know, white nationalist groups, misogynistic groups, racist groups, anti-immigrant groups. And they came up with these guidelines again, which basically say, you know, you can't train with any of these extremist groups. You can't raise money for them. You can't even like something on social media that's considered extreme or wear clothing that clearly has extremist symbols on it. So it's, again, it's pretty hard-hitting, I would say. But again, the question for the military is, okay, you're going to really follow up on this. Are you going to finally collect data? And a lot of the experts say, particularly with the Marine Corps, they don't do a very good job of investigating extremist activity when it comes to light.
And I also want to add that the new guidelines rely a good bit on Marines or service members reporting each other. And I think you'll see when you listen to our podcast how that could be sort of a problem, because the attitudes around things like January 6th and extremist behavior are a little questionable. I don't want to give too much away, but I think relying on service members to turn each other in for concerning behavior is... I'm just curious how that's going to work.
And also, as part of this podcast, you'll hear some interesting answers from Marine officers when they're asked about January 6th. What do you think about January 6th? And what they say is going to be very, very surprising. But again, we don't want to give away too much.
Well, to that end, you know, their commander in chief at the time was saying, you've got to go up to the Capitol and fight like hell. And we got to force Mike Pence to do the right thing here. And I know that is nationally an unsettled question, but did you feel any sympathy for the folks you reported on here who were getting a very mixed message from the very top of who they have to listen to?
Well, you know, first of all, when we were talking with Josh, I mean, where does he get his news from? He gets it almost strictly from Fox at that time. He goes to a conservative and very far-right extremist website. So this is where he gets his information from. So he believed this falsehood that the election was stolen, even though there was absolutely no evidence along those lines. So in a lot of ways, you know, it's his own fault, and it's the fault of everybody that thought they could go into the Capitol, break in. And we have tape of people outside basically saying, we're going to hang people, hang lawmakers. So it's just delusional behavior. And it gets into, again, where do you get your information from? And that's a huge problem, I think, with a lot of people in this day and age. And we love people listening to NPR, but there are bona fide places you can go to get facts and not just a bunch of tripe like you hear in some of these websites or, frankly, some of these TV stations.
Right. And when it comes to sympathy, I think there's a lot of people who watch Fox News, a lot of people who voted for Trump, millions of them. They did not go as far as Josh did. So when it comes to sympathy, I'm going to leave that up to the listener to decide when they listen to the story. You know, he puts forth a very convincing argument in a lot of different places about why he should be let off the hook for what he did. But I'm just going to let people listen and decide on their own.
We've been speaking with Tom Bowman and Lauren Hodges from NPR. Their new embedded series is called A Good Guy. And I learned so much from listening to it. Thank you for your reporting and thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.